Well, I suppose I should begin by saying what a privilege it is to be here. And it is. I could take time to salute some of you, so I just salute all of you. And in the name of Jesus. Rich's introduction made me think I was old. Well, you know, Floyd and I, the home in Pittsburgh, we had thought we would wait till we got old to do it, but we decided we would go now. So that's where we're living, and we're learning a whole new environment. One of the things that we reflect on is that the home is about a mile and a half from where Floyd and I were married. So we're sort of coming back. But we're here this morning to worship the living God. So let's look into his word. And it may seem strange to you that we're looking back at Leviticus chapter 25. These are instructions to the children of Israel. God makes clear his covenant relationship. And included in it is this unusual segment. It's the only place it's in the Bible, with one minor exception in Numbers. Just one reference makes reference to Jubilee. And with that in mind, let's listen to the word. The Lord then spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord." And Sabbath, of course, means rest. "6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvests after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year. Have the Sabbath products of the land for food, yourself and your male and female slaves, and your hired man and your foreign resident, those who live as aliens with you. Even your cattle and the animals that are in your land shall have all its crop to eat. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years, so that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad in the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow, nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. And so it continues. I don't want to take time this morning to try to explain all that follows of the instruction, but catch the idea. You know, the RPC Church has from its start, foibles and all, kept its focus on Jesus Christ. And you have done that here, by the grace of God. And that's significant today because churches today are floating all over the place. Theologically, at sea. So many. And people are wondering what's happening to Western culture. People are hunting. And you perhaps noticed in the news that even the Pope is beginning to question, you know, their stand on mixed marriages. Did you notice that? Now, the question that you have here now is, how can we hope that the next 50 years will see this congregation still focused on Christ? You say, well, that's no problem. It is a problem. There are all kinds of enemies. And the people of God have lost almost any sense of identity as a people. We like to think of America as being an America under God. Well, it is. But it could be under His blessing, it could be under His curse. So it's good. It's really good for us to take time at this 50-year era to think. You see, Jubilee can help us keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And that's my hope and prayer from this message, that it will be an encouragement to you to keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Now let me just explain the word Jubilee. If you look that up, it's a ram's horn. And that's the way they began. I didn't check to see if there was anybody here who had a ram's horn. We could have started the ceremonies today with blowing a ram's horn. If anyone has one, mention it to me. I'll be glad to talk with you. But I want you to make three observations from this matter of Jubilee that can help us keep our focus on Jesus. And I want you to observe, first of all, how we understand Jubilee. As I've said, it's the only place in the Bible that it's explained, except for that minor point there in Numbers 36. And you understand the picture. Jesus refers to this, but I'll get to that later. But if you go back to the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is a Christian perspective, which is threatened today. You realize? Just the first, you know, if you can undermine the first verse of the Bible, you've really undermined the whole thing. And He created 7 days as a week. And by the way, you can explain scientifically the seasons, day and night, warm, cool. There's no geological explanation of the week. And yet the world celebrates a seven-day cycle. Well, that seven-day cycle, of course, according to what God told Moses, was to be likened now to years. And they would sow their fields when they went into Canaan. They weren't there yet. He's giving them instructions. They would have 7 years, but six of those would be the only ones that they would sow and reap. The seventh, no. Not only that, but they would set their slaves free. They would also cancel debts. But then there came the Jubilee year. 7 times 7, kids, 49. Add one, and you got 50. And this 50th year was to be a celebration. And all kinds of things were going to happen. Properties were going to return back to the ones to whom it had been originally given by God's distribution. It was a whole time of trust. It was a time when, well, imagine what that would mean to people. In fact, if you get into some of the details, which we're not going into, if you bought a piece of property from someone, the price was set on how many years it would be until Jubilee. Because when Jubilee came, it reverted back to its original owner. So there was a reminder all the way through their culture. Now, the interesting thing is that the Bible doesn't mention it any other place. And I don't remember where I read it, but somewhere in Josephus, I read that Josephus said that there's no record that they ever practiced it. That's a mystery, because the Bible doesn't mention it again. But there was a principle here. The principle was they were learning that it was God's land. It was God's land. And he said so, he says that later on in this text. He says, the land is mine. Now, we like private ownership. We believe in it. But be careful. The land is his. You're a tenant. And you're responsible. Well, you get the picture here. It would change all kinds of things about their normal life. I don't want to say that the big thing that would come out of this would be the fact that God is our God and he is the one whom we serve. Now, I could go on, but I don't want to go on beyond that. The picture is restoration of relationships and ownership. That's what it's all about. So, understand it. It's a ram's horn who introduces it. Jubilee. And it affects how you live. Now, let's make another observation. You may ask the question, why is this in the Bible if it's only in here once? Well, let me suggest to you that it's Jesus Christ who fulfills jubilee. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, that's why I'm preaching. Over in Isaiah 61, these are familiar words. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That sound like a jubilee? Well, you remember Luke 4? Jesus had begun his ministry. Luke 4, the Bible tells us that he went into the synagogue and he took the book that was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who were oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And the word says, and he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And I say to you that Jesus fulfills the purpose and the intent of jubilee. He says so. And what does it mean? Well, it means salvation to the distressed, to the poor, to captives, to blind, sister, don't miss that, oppressed. And you know, when Jesus came, there was a lot of mystery with it, because who's this fellow John the Baptist, and what role does he play? And he says, "No, I'm not the Christ, one who comes after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie, he's the one." And one day he points him out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John got imprisoned shortly after that. And he noticed that Jesus was going around healing, but the kingdom wasn't coming. And Satan attacked John with a little bit of doubt. So John sent his disciples over to Jesus to say, "What goes? Are you the one? Are you really the one that was to come?" You remember how Jesus responded to him? to you. Matthew 11. It's a great passage when you have a lack of faith. Beginning with verse 4. Jesus answered and said to his disciples, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." That was Jesus' answer. Because now Jesus was coming to begin the restoration of all things. Think of it. We're under the pressure these days of thinking that things are shaking and they're going down. But the Bible doesn't say that the kingdom's in danger. He is in the process of restoring all things. Now, John and the Jewish people had a vision of the kingdom, how to get Rome off their back, a physical kingdom. Jesus was talking about something much greater than that. It would get Rome off their back eventually. Because he is king over all. But this is where the restoration begins. And it's a picture of Jubilee. So we see ourselves, you see, in the process of what God is doing. Listen to this word again from Isaiah. Chapter 49. Thus says the Lord, "In a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant to the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages." And you see, the figure, this is what we call biblical theology, seeing the picture of the gospel in the history of the Old Testament and how it unfolds and shows us Jesus. Christ began, and of course with his going to the cross, which was the culmination of paying that debt, fulfilling that covenant that had been made in eternity. He became the Lamb of God so that this restoration might be consummated, and then proved his ability by rising from the dead. Yeah, Jesus introduces us into that Jubilee. We're in an era of this. You remember the angels introduced themselves and the coming of Christ to the shepherds, saying, "On earth, peace, goodwill to men." You know, that's what's really going on today. I have problems listening to the news because it's so hard to get to the news if I get through the commercials. And then sometimes I just say, why should I listen to the bad news? Oh, I do keep up on it, but I have another way of doing it. It's called World Magazine. But you see, here, clear back here. What's this vision that God has for his people of this restoration? That's what Jesus is in the process of doing. You say, well, it seems like a rugged way to do it. But we don't know the whole news. We don't know the whole picture. And that's where the whole process of Jubilee required faith. The thing that the Israelites struggled with. They struggled. Well, you understand a little bit about Jubilee? We've only talked a little bit about it. Do you understand how Christ now begins to fulfill that historical Jubilee as he's bringing in his kingdom? Well, let's take a moment to observe how we celebrate Jubilee. Let me wind up with this. As a practice, not at all. We don't practice Jubilee as it was given there. Paul warns about trying to carry over all these Old Testament pictures and make them work. And he says, no, that's all past. That's been fulfilled in Christ. But J.G. Voss, who used to teach at Geneva before he went to heaven, said the two things that God did want us to remember. One was the Sabbath day starts that way. Remember. And the other was the Lord's Supper, where Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. So we do have those things which we practice, but not Jubilee. So it's not a practice. We don't have to start trying to recalculate our property on that basis. But since it's not a practice, it is a principle. It's a principle of restoration regarding others. You know how the New Testament epistles are full of such things. Colossians chapter 4. Well, it's in 4, but it's in 2. It's 3. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rest in your heart. We're that. We're that witness to the world. A people of God who have been restored. You wonder what is normalcy? We look at the church of Jesus Christ to see normalcy. We've been set free from our sins. Our sins. And now the characteristic that describes us is loving one another. Jubilee. Are you holding a grudge against anybody today? I hope not. I gave a warning one time when I was conducting communion in a congregation of this presbytery, not this one. And before we took the Lord's Supper, I said, if there's any of you here who has a problem with any other person and you have not forgiven them, I warn you, abstain from the Lord's Supper until you get it settled. That's what some people call fencing the table. You see, that's just not to be normal among the people of God. Well, I went home, and about 10 days later, I got a letter. I got a letter from a lady whom I knew, I'd known from years before. And she thanked me for that warning. She said, my sister lived 125 miles from me, and we hadn't spoken for years. And she said, I decided that it was time that I settled this problem. So she got in her car on Monday. She didn't take communion. She got in her car on Monday, drove that 125 miles, got together with her sister. They were reconciled. She was free in her spirit. And she wrote me this letter and said, thank you for the warning. We got it settled. She was experiencing jubilee. The freedom. The freedom. So there's a principle here. And we're really called to that because there's so many people who are bound. I recently had a chance to visit a place that I've known about for many, many years. It's called the Light and Life Mission on Northside Pittsburgh. We live about a mile from it. I'd never been in it, so I went down there the other day. And I met all kinds of people who are being restored. And I thought, praise God. They're doing this in the name of Jesus. Now I know that this is not foreign to this congregation, but you remember I started off asking how could we be sure that 50 years from now we're still focused on Christ. Well, we remember the hurting, and we're in the business of restoration. But it's also a posture. And this congregation has had a record of this. It's a posture of declaring freedom in Christ through the gospel. That's our posture. Delivered from the world, but out into the world. We're doing church planting today as a denomination like I don't remember ever in my lifetime such a thing was going on. I grew up in an environment of a pastor's home. I'm a preacher's kid, a PK means privileged character. But anyway, I have no recollection growing up in that home, that pastor's home, of any adult baptism. So I didn't know what conversion was all about, experientially. Hadn't seen it. Roy and I used to talk about this in seminary days. Why did God call us into this dried up, dying vine of His church? And then by His Spirit, He opened the eyes of our understanding to see what it was to be in Christ. And in Christ, we had the power to set people free. And Roy and I have watched a change in this denomination. Oh, we're still pretty ragged. But we can now talk freely about what it means to come to Jesus. Our good friend Leroy Imes came to my church in Pittsburgh, worshiped with us occasionally, and he said, you know, your people don't talk about Jesus. It's always helpful to get somebody else's opinion on things like that. Yeah. Would to God the gift He gives give us to see ourselves as others see us? That's changing, praise God. And this congregation, under the Spirit of the Lord, has been a front runner in that for us. Now, our sole purpose is not how to preserve the denomination. But I won't preach on that. But I agree with our confession, Covenant of 1871 that says that we believe that denominations are sinful and inimical in themselves against true religion. But we are a church and we have the legacy of the gospel. Every one of us does. You share it? You blowing the horn? It's Jubilee time. He's coming again, and He's going to consummate His kingdom, but now is the day of salvation. Amen? Proclaim it. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this, but I could. How many of you ladies have in your big purses tracts with the gospel ready to give out? How many of you guys in your truck or in your vehicle that you drive? How many of you guys have a Gospel of John or have a tract of how to be saved and you're prepared? How many of you got that? I was down in Australia. I'll quit telling stories. I was down in Australia, and they asked me to teach a class on church planting. And so I was thinking along these lines. Well, they had two beautiful tracts. As you go in the door, here was this table, and here were these tracts. These are supposedly for visitors who didn't come, but the... There they were. So we have this class on church planting, and I how many of you have those tracts with you? How many of you have read them? None of them had. I said, those are not supposed to be out there for the visitor. They don't take them. Those are to be in your purse, ladies. Those are to be on your table near the front door. When people stop, and men, keep them in the glove compartment of your car. We have a ways to go on that. But this is the day of salvation. This is our jubilee as we await his return. So, as we celebrate 50 years as a congregation here, and we celebrate our freedom in Jesus, we commit ourselves, and will you commit yourself to the next 50 years with the focus on Jesus Christ, the coming King? Let me just say one brief word to somebody who may be here who has never really come to Christ. You've heard about it. You know about it. You're in church. But you've never bowed down to Jesus. But today, the Holy Spirit is convicting you that that's what you must do. Surrender your life for his. Give up your purpose for his call. Is the Holy Spirit calling you? Let me say this. The call of God to repent and believe in Jesus is there for the world. I don't have to hesitate when I meet anybody and wonder if this is an elect person or not. That's none of my business. What my job is to tell him what he needs to know to be saved. And friend, you may know a lot, but if you have never come to Christ, I urge you, in the name of God, bow down to him today. Start living in jubilee. And if you have a problem, you want to discuss it, there are many of us here ready to talk about it with you. Let's pray. Now, you've heard this rather rambling message today. How would you pray? What is God calling you to do? Or as one man puts it, knowing what you know. What ought you to do? Lord, hear our prayers. How we thank you for giving us hope in the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, bless this congregation, that you'll give victory over all the attacks of the evil one, and that 50 years from now, if you have not come by then, that the focus will be on Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.